Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning. Good News in the Morning is put on by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, postal code K0G1W0. My name is George Sinclair. I'm the pastor of Church of the Messiah, and it's my privilege to get to speak to you a little bit this morning from the Bible and all about Jesus. But before we get into all of that, let's listen to some music. We're going to listen to Randy Travis sing Nothing But the Blood.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Good morning. Once again, my name is George Sinclair. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. Listen, just before we get into our show, just so you know, this show is completely and utterly supported by the financial contributions of our listeners and by your prayers. So if you can help out in either way, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. And if you'd actually sort of like to meet some of the speakers and meet Alan Churchill, we are planning a special event of words and music for the Good News Christian Ministries. It's going to take place on Sunday evening, May the 5th at 7 p.m. at Bethany Baptist Church at 382 Centerpoint Drive. Special music will be provided by Destiny, and all four of your preachers and Alan Churchill will be there. It's free. There will be a free will offering, and not only will there be a sort of a service of word and music, but there'll also be a time to mingle if you want and to meet us. Today, well, in my background, you know, I didn't have sermon titles. I would have just said, you know, my sermon today, the title would have been Luke 8:26 to 39. But in the last few years, I've gotten into titles. And so if I was to have a title for today, it would be Demons Are Real. That's right. You heard right. Demons are real. And some of you might say, George, that's a really odd thing to say. Don't you know anything about psychology? Don't you know about psychiatry? What about good spirits? What about witches? Well, we're going to sort of look at all of these questions. And the text that we're going to be looking at today is Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. I'm just going to read a bit of it to give you the beginning of the story. And so if you have your Bibles, please get them out. We'll be looking at the Bible. It'll be very helpful if you have a Bible that you can read along with me. And here's how it begins. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, that's Jesus and his disciples, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And the demon said, "Legion," for many demons had entered the man. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged Jesus to let them enter these. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. We're going to look at that and sort of how the story continues and how it's finished. But before that, we're going to listen to some more music. We're going to listen to Stuart Townend sing, "Lord, I'm Grateful."
Christ alone, your righteousness is all that I need.
Demons are real. That's how we began the session today. And some of you are maybe wondering if you should even be listening to this. But it's a very, very important topic. And some of you might say, okay, I mean, George, gosh, psychology, psychiatry, modern science, and what about all these different spiritualities? What about good spirits? What about witches? George, how on earth can you, in the year 2013, in a sophisticated city like Ottawa, say that demons are real? Well, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to me trusting the Bible. It's going to come down to me trusting Jesus. I'll be right up front about that. And at the end of the day, it's going to really come down to the fact that it's because there's good evidence, and I believe that Jesus really rose from the dead after he died upon the cross, that that's what vindicates the teaching of Jesus. But let's look again at the text and see what wisdom we can get from the text. Just sort of hang out with me for a moment. And let's look again at verses 30 to 35, because one of the things which is really important about this text and makes it different than most of the other stories in the Bible, because if you read the Gospels and you read the book of Acts, you'll see that there's lots of mentions of Jesus and then later on the apostles casting out demons. But this story is a very important story, and it has some elements which are quite unique. Look again at verses 30 to 35. And Jesus then asked him, this is now he's talking to the demoniac, the man who has the demons in him. And Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And the man, or really it's the demon through the man, said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged Jesus not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Now, the pigs are really important in this story. You see, it's very easy, maybe, even though, in fact, if you know a little bit about the Bible and you know a little bit about the original languages, you'll know that the Bible makes a distinction between mental illness and epilepsy and other types of things and demonic possession. That doesn't come across necessarily in the English, but it is there in the original languages. And but you see, here's the thing. If this, it's possible for us to look at all the other stories of Jesus and him talking about exorcism, and it's possible for us as modern readers to think, oh, well, that's just how they understood mental illness back then, that if Jesus knew as much as we knew about mental illness, then we'd understand that Jesus is actually just healing mental illness. He's actually not really casting out a demon. That's maybe how we would read the text. But here's where the pigs are so important. You see, if somebody's healed of mental illness, then it doesn't go into pigs, right? It doesn't go into pigs. Like, this story is very, very stark, because it draws out completely and fully what the Bible is teaching all of the time, that demons actually exist, that they're real. And so it is in this story, the man is healed and the demons leave the man and go into the pigs, and the pigs' behavior is changed. In fact, the pigs are now filled with, in a sense, a lust for death and for a complete and utter manic energy, and they rush into the abyss. And so that's why the first point of our talk today is this: demons are real. That's what the Bible teaches, that demons are real. Demons aren't a metaphor for some other type of thing. And that's one of the reasons why in this talk I'm not going to talk about the demonic, because it's easy if we use the word demonic that we can just sort of take it as a type of metaphor for a type of evil or a type of illness. But the Bible here isn't a metaphor. It's describing something that really happened. It describes the reality of demons. Demons are real. You might ask me, what are demons? A more full talk would show that demons are ultimately fallen angels. Angels that rebelled against God and became evil. They are real beings. They are pure spirit or pure mind. They have no bodies. They have a mind and they have a will. They can affect and influence people and animals and, in fact, the created order. Demons are not ghosts. They are not human beings after death. And if we grasp this, that this is what the Bible teaches, then what that means is that the world is very different than many in our culture think. That the world is very different than many in our culture think. Our culture really we sort of have a category for right and wrong, and we don't really know how to connect that to our more fundamental view that we're always trying to come up with a materialistic, and I don't mean wanting to have lots of stuff, but we try to always reduce things to the categories of matter or energy. Even when you watch sort of hokey Hollywood movies like the Ghostbusters or more recent ones, there's this idea that somehow particle beams or energy beams or containers can contain a demon. Our culture has a hard time. On one level, we want to believe in the dignity and worth of human beings. We occasionally want to believe in the reality of things like love or beauty. But at the same time, we don't really have any category for something other than matter or energy as being the most basic thing. And the Bible here is saying that purely material accounts of reality are wrong, that's not how the real world is. In that sense, it's actually providing a true account of what we experience and what we think. But some of you might say, George, what about white magic? What about spirit guides? What about angel guides? Talk about this. Why are you only using the language of demons? Why are you doing that? Well, let's look at the text again. And we'll sort of tease out some of the details about this. We're going to begin at verse 26. And here's how the story goes. Remember, that's how it began. Jesus has left a Jewish territory, and he's gone into pagan territory. And here it is. They sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, or the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on the land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. Notice that the effect of the demons on the man means that he's now all by himself, that he's alone, that he is morbidly fascinated with death, that by not wearing any clothes, it means that he can't have proper social relations with other people, that it damages and breaks relationships, it damages and breaks normal sense of modesty. It means that, in fact, he won't be able to protect himself from the elements, because clothes play an important role in protecting us from cuts and bruises and from the sun and from the cold and from just from the elements. And when the man, verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. See that the demon doesn't just want to sort of add value to the man's life. It oppresses him. It takes him over. It seizes him. The man was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. And this isn't a sign of some great strength, as if it's like Hercules putting on its ring, like that old corny television show. This is a type of manic, destructive strength. It's a fearsome strength that drives people away, that frightens the man, that drives him into the wilderness, that drives him away from people. And that teaches us something here about the demons, is that not only are demons real, but demons are evil and they're hostile. Some of you might say, George, don't Christians say love the sinner and hate the sin? But in the case of humans, that's the case. And that's because, well, for a variety of reasons, because that we're both body and soul, that we're in a sense in flesh souls or in souled bodies, one person, but being a one person made up of both body and soul. But demons, for whatever reason, the Bible doesn't go into full explanation of it. Maybe it's because they are pure spirit or pure mind, and when they switch, they become all of one type of thing. We don't know, but the Bible only describes that there's two options, that there's the option of being a demon or there's the option of God and his realm, that there's no in-between realm. So if you say, what about white magic, I'd say that the Bible says that there is no such thing as white magic. What's the criteria for the difference between a demon and God's realm? If the spirit or the spirit guide exalts Jesus as Savior and Lord and brings people only to Jesus, then maybe what you're dealing with is in fact something in God's realm. But if whatever spirit guide that you're involved with, if it does not exalt Jesus as the Savior and the Lord, and exalt, not just merely recognize, but exalt Jesus as the Savior and Lord, and if that guide does not only bring people to Jesus, then I have to say there is no middle ground. You are dealing with something which is a demon, even if it appears as an angel of light. some of you might say, George, don't you know about the social sciences and all of that type of stuff? You don't have schools of exorcism in psychology departments or social work departments. Well, I guess I'd say I actually have a sociology degree. I have a counseling degree, a graduate degree in counseling. I'm familiar with the social sciences very well. But, you know, one of the things about it, if you actually look into the social sciences, they too struggle with this earlier issue, which I mentioned, that on one level, intellectually, they can't account for anything existing ultimately other than matter and energy. Yet, on the other hand, they understand the reality of persons, and they have problems integrating the reality of persons with the reality of their materialism, their materialistic ways of looking at things. And they don't look. They don't look for the demonic. They don't look for demons. And often, all they do is just bind with drugs. That evil itself is a problem for the social sciences to deal with. They don't really ultimately have a proper intellectual category for the reality of evil. And so there's nothing in the social sciences, given how they what it is that they look for, what they exclude as even being a possibility, that disproves the reality of demons. So some of you might say, George, you know, people who go believe in demons, they go kooky. They see demons everywhere. And I guess I have to acknowledge that sometimes that does happen to people. But Aristotle, a pagan philosopher from many years ago, he said that often people err in one of two directions, not just in one direction, that either they see too much of something or too little of something. And the fact is that there are some people who see demons way more places than they actually are, but the more common Canadian problem is to not see them anywhere. And the Bible teaches us to sort of just have this sober type of view of it, that to understand that there are demons, that they are real, and to not see them everywhere, but to not pretend that they don't exist. Some of you might say, George, don't demons lead to... believing in demons lead to witch hunts and beating people and all of that type of stuff. And I'd say this, you know, first of all, you know, people who are don't believe in God and are materialistic, they've done lobotomies and they overdrug and they do they've done electric shock. And if you look at atheistic countries like the Soviet Union and China, they definitely use psychiatry for evil purposes. It's not necessarily the case that people who are atheists can give Christians lectures. No Christian should ever do any of those things, not because we have to learn necessarily from atheists, although sadly some Christians have been very, very foolish and wicked, but just merely listening to the Bible would help us to understand that we should never do anything like this, because the Bible here teaches that Jesus is more powerful than all demons and their doom is certain. Jesus is more powerful than demons and than all demons, than any demons, and their doom is certain, that we're to go to Jesus for the solution to these types of things. Listen to the Bible once again, and we'll begin reading at verse 34 and 35. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And the man went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. The story shows that with a mere word of command that the demons have to leave. Doesn't matter how many of them are. The cross, in fact, is to be understood as a defeat of demons. That this same Jesus who has this power over demons, he ultimately dies on the cross on behalf of me and on behalf of you. And the Bible sometimes refers to Jesus' death upon the cross as Jesus' ultimate defeat of demons, of sin, of death itself. And his resurrection is a vindication of Jesus, a vindication of his power. And in the resurrection of Jesus, after his sin-bearing death, his representative substitutionary death upon the cross, his mighty resurrection, we know that their doom is certain. That in fact, when even the lowliest, simplest Christian puts their faith in person, puts their faith and trust in Jesus, we know that in spiritual conflict, the disciple of Jesus is protected and empowered by Jesus. In spiritual conflict, the disciple of Jesus is protected and empowered by Jesus. You know, one of the things that's wonderful about this story, you have to go to Matthew to see it, but the next time in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is to return to this area. And while the first time he comes, he's only met by a naked, crazy man possessed by demons, nobody else. And later on in Jesus' ministry, as recorded in Matthew, Jesus returns to the very same area, the very same spot. And this time there's a crowd of 4,000 men, not counting women and children. This man's simple testimony about what Jesus had done for his life brought actually thousands of people to know Jesus. What should we do? If you're suffering emotional or mental problems or problems of will, seek medical help and seek counsel and ask people to pray for you. Ask people to pray that you would that God would grow within you a humble, trusting knowledge of the greatness of Jesus. If you're involved in seances or Ouija boards or psychic fairs or white magic, you need to stop right now. And if you can't stop, you need to seek out a Christian church, and ask for prayer. Ask for a prayer that God would grow in you a humble, trusting knowledge of the greatness of Jesus. If you're involved in counseling or psychology, learn your psychology and counseling skills to the utmost. And if you can't pray with the clients on the spot because of your work situation, pray for them at home. Pray for discernment. And pray that God would grow in them a humble, trusting knowledge of the greatness of Jesus. And for you who are Christians, maybe God is calling you to a degree of intercession into these areas. But for Christians and for non-Christians alike, ask that God would grow within you a humble, trusting knowledge of the greatness of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, please grow in me a humble, trusting knowledge of the greatness of Jesus. Just before we go and hear a final song by George Beverly Shea, we're going to listen to Blessed Assurance. Just to remind you of the event on Sunday evening, May the 5th at 7 p.m. at Bethany Baptist Church at 382 Centerpoint Drive. Special music by Destiny. All four preachers will be there. Alan Churchill will be there. It'll be an evening of music and of testimony. There'll be a free will offering. There'll be refreshment. Love to meet some of you if you listen to the show. Please pray for us. Pray for us and pray for us and pray for us. And if God has blessed you with some financial means, consider helping this ministry. None of the preachers get paid at all. This is completely and utterly done for free. But we do need financial support. God bless. Here's George Beverly Shea.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angel descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.